So there's the anticipation of the cross, there's the anticipation of becoming sin. But there's even more than that. Because the punishment for sin is separation from God forever. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. So just imagine that in addition to becoming sin, because he was going to become sin for us, he had to suffer the punishment of sin for us, which means he had to be separated from God, his Father, multiplied by all of his people for all eternity, condensed into that time he was on the cross. The awfulness of that, we cannot possibly understand this. We'll come to this again in a few weeks' time when we come to the place called Calvary. And this overwhelmed him. Can you think of it? The Son who had been with the Father from all eternity, enjoying the love and the fellowship of the Father, was going to be separated from him. And he says, I am overwhelmed. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And there's a final thing, I suppose. Do you remember way back at the beginning of human history, there was a garden? And into that garden, almost unnoticed, somebody crept who we know as Satan. And how he tempted Adam and Eve and how they fell. And do you not think that this garden, here where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come to deal with the problem of sin that began in that first garden, that Satan isn't always also going to be there? I think he was. Jesus said, this is the hour when darkness reigns, the power of darkness. And do you not think Satan was there just whispering to Jesus, don't go through with it. You don't need to do this. You don't need to go as far as this. You've done God's will. You've taught the kingdom of God. You've healed the sick. You've raised the dead. You've fed the lepers. You don't need to go to the cross. God wouldn't want you to suffer. Can you not just hear it? And there's this conflict here because the devil, we don't really know how much the devil understood of God's plan of salvation, but I think he understood enough to want to destroy it. And if you go back to the life of Jesus right at the beginning, Herod the Great tried to kill all the babies under the age of 2 years. Do you not think Satan was in the background somewhere? Kill the baby Jesus, then he won't be able to go to the cross as a man. And then he tempts him in the wilderness 3 times to sin. If he sinned, then he would have to die for his own sin. He couldn't die for ours. And then when Jesus declared himself to Peter, he said, who do you say I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Peter takes him aside when Jesus talks about suffering and says, no, you won't suffer. And we know it wasn't Peter. This is Matthew 16. It was actually Satan speaking through Peter. And what was Satan trying to do? To stop Jesus going to the cross. And do you not think at the end there, when we were almost at Calvary, that Satan would creep into the garden and say to Jesus, don't go. Don't go through with it. Don't do it. You don't need to. You've done enough already. Don't do the Father's will. And all of this crushed Jesus almost to the point of death. And he says a very touching thing. He says to his disciples, stay here and keep watch. Now, some people think, well, this means just guard the gate. I don't think so, because I think the other 8 were kind of guarding the gate. And some other people think it means, well, watch how I pray, and then you will learn how to pray. Well, I think we can learn some things from the way that Jesus prayed to his Father, but I don't think that was the main purpose of it. It was just like, I'm in agony of soul here. Just be with me. You're my friends. I need you here with me, just to be with me in this experience. And it's what people sometimes call just a ministry of presence. You know, and you know what it's like if you're going through a difficult time, just to have somebody with you. That's all. They don't need to say anything. They just need to be there. And that's what Jesus says, stay here and watch with me. And he goes a little further on, verse 35, falls to the ground, and he prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Verse 36, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Now, Mark says in verse 35 that the essence of Jesus' prayer was that he prayed that if possible, the hour, that is the hour of his suffering, the hour of his crucifixion, the hour of becoming the sin bearer, the hour of being separated from his Father might pass from him. And these are the words of Jesus. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. This expression, Abba, is interesting. We don't want to get bogged down with kind of words and stuff here, but the New Testament's written in Greek. Okay, and Mark, in his gospel, leaves untranslated one or two words of the actual language which Jesus spoke. Jesus did not speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic, which was the most widely spoken language at that time in the Middle East, and the common language. And Mark sometimes leaves words untranslated, and nobody knows why. So yeah, if you've got a theory, that's fine. I think that Mark leaves them untranslated just to remind us that this is actually an eyewitness account. Somebody heard Jesus praying these words. And it's just like Mark is saying, now who was that person? Well, and the wise Bible teachers think it's probably Peter. I'm an unwise Bible teacher here because I think it probably wasn't Peter because Peter was asleep. With all the others, he's asleep. So who was it? Well, I think it was Mark himself. I think Mark was there. And next time round, here's something to pique your interest. Mark throws in a selfie into the story, just like to say, I was there. So I think Mark was somewhere here in the shadows, and he actually heard the words of Jesus. It doesn't really matter, but it's interesting, isn't it? It's an eyewitness account. Abba. Now, Abba, it's difficult to try and put it into English without trivializing it or making it sound sort of a bit trite. But Abba is a very personal, very intimate, very trusting. It's almost like Daddy. We don't want to say that because it sounds kind of stupid. But, you know, it's a very trusting, intimate word here that Jesus is. He's just saying, you know, Father, Dad, please, you can do anything. Everything's possible for you. Take this cup from me.